The theme that we're going to look at is wisdom. It's the last day that we hear from Ben Sira. But here's wisdom. I mean, here's divine wisdom incarnate. Jesus. And he's giving them another chance. These are his enemies, and they want to trap him so they can kill him. And yet, and I was thinking this, I thought, you see the role of the saints? They make it really hard to be against Jesus, because there they are, living, imbued, suffused with the Word of God incarnate. And they're good people, and everybody can see that they're good. Look at Mother Teresa. Look at Padre Pio. Would you say those people are from God or not? I mean, who would? You know, except people don't believe in God. So I was thinking, John was a great shield for Jesus. Huh? There's this very holy man, courageous, zealous for the purity of Israel, who confronted the king and told him he was in sin by living with his brother's wife, and it cost him his life. So now Jesus appeals to John. And it just struck me how the saints help us understand who Jesus is. And so that's the... And so it's an instance of wisdom, isn't it? Of course, our Lord is divine wisdom. Just a few words about the first reading. This is the conclusion of Ben Sira. So we start another book Monday. You don't have to wait. You can look it up in the Magnificat and find out what it's going to be. It's Tobias. Because we're in this part of the... See, the liturgy takes this time of year. It's hot. People are tired. To give us all these instructions on wisdom. How to live. And so... So these are almost the concluding lines of Ben Sira. I thank the Lord. I bless the name of the Lord. When I was young and innocent, I sought wisdom openly in my prayer. Seek wisdom. See, that's already a gift. Justin, you know, tells in his Apologia, in his dialogue with Trifo, he's telling about his own conversion, how he sought for wisdom. And he was, you know, he was a Manichae, I think, for a while. Finally, he was, a Platonist. The Lord gets them all to Plato, and then he can, because in Plato you have this understanding that everything that is good and beautiful, you know, participates in something else, greater. So their minds and hearts are open to understand. Augustine was a Platonist, finally, when he finished with all the other things he was into. But he couldn't go any further without that special grace that gave him the gift of chastity. He couldn't go any further. Justin says he met this old man and told him about the prophets and the other friends of God and won him over. And so he concludes that story by, so at that moment and until this one, I am a Christian. Now, he was teaching philosophy in Rome. As I say, there weren't big universities, you know, they taught in the street. And that's where the Stoics come from. They taught on the Stoa. They taught on the porch. And so he was arrested and killed because he was subverting the establishment. Now, how was he doing that? He was just teaching there's only one God and we should love and worship him and obey him. Well, we're almost there again, if you know what I mean, except we don't call them gods anymore. But, you know, the forces of the state, that's the, those are divine. They're not, of course. Once you get an idea of what divine is, you see how stupid it is. But, of course, and so he was killed, Justin Martyr, for his philosophy. He's a great man and a founder of a, because he wrote, of a way of thought, huh? Was picked up by Irenaeus and then by the great Origen. These men were so marvelous and they loved Jesus. Origen is commenting on the book of Exodus. And he comes across for the first time, he's preaching the mention of Joshua, who was Moses' assistant, remember? Well, Yehoshua, that's Jesus, is the name. You know, I mean, that's the Hebrew for Jesus is Yehoshua. So he comes on the text and he just stops. He says, there it is. There's the name. There's the name. He was so excited to see Jesus' name. Now that's a good philosopher. You see? And so he tells for this search. And wisdom, well, the word in almost every language that has gender in its words, chokmah in Hebrew, sophia in Greek, it's all feminine. Well, it's feminine grammatically because it ends in A and all words that end in A are feminine. I mean, that's, you know, but there's more to it. There's the attraction. And that's what he talks about. I sought wisdom openly in my prayer. I prayed for her before the temple. And I will seek her till the end. Why? Because I want to know what life is all about. I want to know what I'm doing on this globe. I want to understand this globe. Why are those trees so beautiful out there? You know, why does the sun come up like it does? What happens to me when I die? That's wisdom. Seek, 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 you see? I prayed for her before the temple, and I will seek her until the end. That's a grace, you see? And she flourished as a grape soon ripe. My heart delighted in her. My feet kept to the level path. The joy of starting to understand what reality is all about and who God is. You see? Because from earliest youth I was familiar with it. In the short time I paid heed, I met with great instruction. There's no comparison. There's no relationship. We go to a little bit of effort. We pray, we study, we ponder the sacred text. And we're overwhelmed with wisdom. There's no comparison to our effort and the blessing. We wouldn't be in this church except that we have some intermission of wisdom, you see. Since in this way I have profited, I will give my teacher wisdom, grateful praise. I became resolutely devoted to her. The good I persistently strove for, desire, desire, desire. For Augustine, I got to watch that I don't go too long, even though it's Saturday, but see, for Augustine, the grace is desire. We don't desire unless the Lord gives us the desire. And so he's describing his desire to understand this reality. There are two realities in the Old Testament which are described in a way. These mystics, you see, they describe the two words are wisdom or word and spirit. These words, these realities, even in the Old Testament, you see, somehow share the identity of God, but they don't know how. And nobody knows how until Jesus is born of Mary. There's God. But he's talking to God, his Father. And that's when it all opens up for us. You see? So, and this is what Justin did for so much of his life until he found the Lord. My soul was tormented in seeking her. My hand opened her gate. This is John of the Cross kind of stuff, see? And I came to know her secrets. I directed my soul to her, and in cleanness I attained to her. I got rid of everything that was an obstacle to wisdom. And she just kept drawing me and drawing me and drawing me. And that's why, among so many of the Christian mystics, you see, that's Our Lady. How many times when we say a Mass in honor of Our Lady, the readings are from the Book of Wisdom. And so, you see, it's worth it to fight for the time to seek for wisdom. We're all so busy. Just stop and search for wisdom. And you see, that's what he says. My soul was tormented, and I am not going to rest until I find wisdom. That's how he ends his book, Sirach. That means you adjust your lifestyle. How many movies? How many TVs? You know, throw the thing out. I want to have wisdom. So I read the Bible. I read saints. You know, one great saint to read nowadays is Faustina. She doesn't say, I'm searching for wisdom, but Jesus is wisdom. And he identified her with himself, gave her a share in his passion. Why? Because, you see, God the Father wants these realities to exist in an earthly dimension. You know, our Lord could come here invisibly, surrounded by millions of angels, and we would seek for him. No, the Father wants that act of love in which he died to have an historical space-time measurable dimension. That's the liturgy. That's what it's for. It's the same for intercession. He's always living to make intercession for us, right? But that's the intercession. He says, we don't know what to pray for as we ought, right? In Romans 8, we don't know what to pray. Well, of course we don't. We're too stupid. But the Holy Spirit comes, and he prays in us. What a mercy. God is praying in us, and the Father is saying, thank you for your prayers. They're hardly ours. That's how much he loves us. But that, what is that prayer that he's working in us? A few verses later in that, Romans 8, where that text comes from, he talks about Jesus always living to make intercession for us. And that's in heaven, right? But the Father wants that prayer of Jesus to be on earth. And that's what the Holy Spirit works in us. You meet somebody holy, you see it, don't you? They're preoccupied about the world and souls and poverty. And see, it's Jesus in them. I live, this is Paul, because you know, I live now, not I. Christ lives in me. And Christ prays in me. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He takes the prayer of Christ and puts it in us. And it becomes our own. We're very personal about it. But it's the Holy Spirit giving us this prayer of Christ. And then the prayer of Christ lives on earth and can go from earth back to the Father